You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, we're back. It's Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show with a brand spanking new theme song.
Brand shiny and new.
Still got that new song smell.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Cody. Samantha was unfortunately disappeared by Thanos.
Yeah, she did. But hopefully by next week she'll get better.
Yeah.
So hey, thank you all for tuning in this week.
I mean, it's probably going to happen to Spider-Man.
Oh, probably. I would hope so.
Avenge the fallen.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Far From Home is going to be awful weird otherwise.
If he's a pile of dust.
Yeah.
In a spider sock. Yeah.
Just a Spider-Man knit sock full of dust.
Carried around by his buddy.
Yeah, his friend carries him around and still talks to him, and it's really sad.
It's real weird.
And yeah, people just try to ignore it.
Yeah. All right, so we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have checked out. Let's not all jump in at once. No, I can go ahead and go real quick. Mine are super quick. I am very close to finishing Final Fantasy VII for the first time ever.
Nice.
Yeah, I just finished what would be the second disc. So all I have left is the final fight and a bunch of side quest stuff to clean up.
It's a four-disc game.
It's three-disc.
It was a four-disc game.
Final Fantasy VII?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it was four discs.
Three discs.
It's four discs.
Maybe eight was four discs.
Maybe
eight was four discs. Seven was three. Anyway, what
I just remember the first disc basically being like all of Midgard.
Yeah, if the discs were like split up into like acts, the first act is like way overloaded. There was almost nothing to do on the second one, and the third disc is like, or the third act is just the final fight and some side quest.
You're right. It was three discs.
Yeah. See. Yeah.
Why did I think it was the other two games are four?
Yeah, they're a little beefier.
Not that it matters.
No. But, you know, I really enjoy it. I've really been digging going through. Some of those side quests are a little tedious.
Have you fought the weapons?
I'm just about to. I tried the Emerald weapon once, and it cleaned my clock.
Oh, yeah. You got 5 minutes to fight it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. If you find the underwater materia, it turns off the timer.
You know, I think I remember that after, like, fighting him so many times. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
This is not worth it to me.
Yeah. Chocobo breeding was kind of a pain. Yeah, getting that sweet
you
golden...
You got the golden chocobo?
I got the golden chocobo, yeah. What really helps is the Switch has the 3x speed option, so it just makes doing the races over and over again take a lot less time. I can knock out like 3 or 4 races in the time it would take one, and that's pretty nice.
I used to play the ever-living dirt out of those races, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the best way to make, like, GP for the golden saucer. We're getting real into weeds on this. It's a really good game. The story...
Does it hold up?
Not really. Kind of does. It's one of those things where at the time I can understand why people were so confused by what was going on.
It was groundbreaking for the
Yeah, it was groundbreaking for the time. And the use of FMV and pre-rendered backgrounds and stuff was really phenomenal for the time. And it still looks really good. But like having dealt with more complex stories in games and in media in general, going back and playing Final Fantasy VII, it's not as complex as people made it out to be. Like, you're a bunch of...
Eco-terrorists
to start the game because...
Big corporation.
Big corporation equals bad. And then the main character had their mind wiped, kind of, and was replaced with, like, memories from another person. And 3/4 of the way through the game, he gets his own memories back, and he acts a little bit different, but not really. It doesn't really change too much. You get one kind of trippy scene.
Oh, man, I hated that whole portion of, like, that sequence where you're, like, going through, like, materia cracks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Crazy Cloud.
I never got this far.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Yeah, it's...
I never got past the first disc.
So I'm the only one who's sitting here who's actually beating the game?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. That second disc, I understand why there's so little on it, because there are so many FMVs. Like, they needed all the extra space just to play the extra videos and stuff. But there is so much not doing things.
Oh, yeah.
On disc 2. Like, it's everything is in disc one and the final fight's in disc three. Disc two, you walk to a place and you watch an exposition dump.
It might as well be a movie.
Basically.
You put it in your you finish disc one, now put this in your DVD player and watch it and then come back.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it's fun. It's fun. I'm probably going to finish up this week. I probably have about 3 or 4 more hours left on it.
I still think Cloud and Drag should have been an alternate costume in Smash.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah. Did you 100% the drag sequence?
Oh, without a doubt.
Nice.
Yep, definitely got that. Actually played it. I did the most difficult option when it came to the Golden Saucer date, because to have the one-on-one time with any of the female characters, you basically just have to
be mean to the other ones.
Be mean to the other ones, but you have to fulfill very, very specific parameters and answers to get Barrett. As a joke. So I thought, I'm going to go for the challenge.
Barrett's a hard nut to crack.
He sure was. I actually had to reload the game a couple times because I totally whiffed some of the
conversation options.
Yeah.
Did you remember to grab Eris's final thing from behind the piano?
I did.
You mean
Tifa's
orthopedic underpants?
No, her.
I got that too.
Yeah.
Her final limit break.
Oh.
Tifa's?
No.
Aerith. Oh yeah, Aerith's. Yeah. I did get it, although I knew what was going to happen to her, so I didn't use her in any of the fights.
Yeah, I have a hard time
devoting
any time to her because of what happens.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I've always been a Tifa guy anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not always. I used to be a Yuffie guy. Then she seals all your materia.
Yeah, what a jerk. But no, the other thing I did, it was actually another game thing, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, the first DLC came out, Joker from Persona 5, got a chance to play it and went through the classic mode, did a couple things. I have no history with the character whatsoever, but
I can make up for that.
You can make up for that.
Doubly.
Yeah, I enjoy the character. I think it's going to take me a little bit more getting used to, because there are some mechanics, especially the fall recovery options, are a little weird. It's not what I'm used to.
His grappling hook sucks.
Yeah, it's not very good.
But the Wings of Rebellion are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I'm really enjoying it. And it does what it set out to. It makes me want to play Persona 5.
You should have already wanted that.
Oh, I kind of did, but I also didn't want to spend the money on like a
PlayStation
4.
Yeah.
And I still don't want to spend the money on a PlayStation 4. But hey, when it comes on Switch,
if
it comes on Switch, I will do that.
I played Piranha Plant a little bit when he came out. And
it's fun.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
There are some moves I'm still getting used to, but his air recovery is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's one of the best air moves in the game.
Mm-hmm.
All the side Persona stuff that they put in the game is so spot on and perfect that, like, it really shows how much
they paid attention.
Yeah, how much Sakurai loves the franchise, too.
The stage stuff was kind of great, with the changing backgrounds based on what song from which game plays.
Did you do the DLC Spirit Board?
Yes, I did. I cleared all of them.
I cleared all of them, but the Phantom Thieves last one.
Oh, it was tough.
Yeah.
That one takes a little bit.
But
it took me a couple tries.
The characters they chose and the way they did it is very good and very, like, it shows they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because, like, you fight a simulacrum of that character.
Uh-huh.
And also their persona.
And also their persona, yeah.
So, yeah, so, like, the Panther one has Zero Suit Samus in a red suit for Panther, but also a red giant Princess Peach for her persona, Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. Also, no, they did a really, really good job.
Futaba is the Inkling, which is hilarious.
That's pretty great.
They look the same.
They kind of do. Yeah. but no, that's what I've been doing this week.
I have no frame of reference.
Oh, and Joker's victory animation is
The running away stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. Because
that's exactly what it looks like when you finish a battle in
Persona. Oh, really? Okay. So yeah. I didn't know that. I do like his final smash where it cuts to him as the animated, like,
oh, the all-out attack.
The all-out attack.
Exactly
how
it is in the game.
In the game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. That's really cool. But no, that's what I've been doing this week.
I've been rewatching Disenchantment.
It's so good.
That's the Matt Groening one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Where's more of that? Netflix?
August, I
think.
That's
too far away.
Wow, really?
It's sometime this year.
Why didn't they time it up with Game of Thrones? That would have been the smart thing to do.
They should have, although Perhaps they would have gotten swallowed by Game of Thrones hype.
True.
And Avengers hype.
And Avengers true. Hype.
Plus, She-Ra comes out tomorrow.
Oh, I didn't know. I forgot about that.
Nice.
Awesome.
So you got something.
Yeah. There's something.
I forgot how dark. Well, I didn't really forget, but I was reminded how dark Disenchantment is.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the first episode. It's like, oh, it's the hanging tree.
It's so good. It takes at least 3 episodes to really get its stride, I think, but it's good from the beginning.
Yeah.
And even if you don't initially like it all that much, stick with it, because it...
See, that's the thing. I watched the first episode, and it was fine. It's not my style of show, like the fantasy stuff, but yeah, I need to go back and try it again.
Yeah, I bet I'd enjoy it. I like it, and I like picking out like the reused voices from some of the
oh, from Futurama, basically.
Yeah, basically. Like when there's like the magic laughing horse, and it's this Bender's laugh. I also started watching the animated Ultraman.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
I watched about 5 minutes and I'm like, this is boring.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It carries some of the spirit of the original Ultraman.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Like, it's directly connected to the original Ultraman.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like,
cool.
The main character's dad was
the first Ultraman?
Was the first Ultraman.
Excellent.
Not Ultra Q, but Ultraman.
Yeah. No, that's excellent.
Which then prompted me to go do some research, and then I went and watched some old Ultraman episodes, and I watched the first episode of the first Ultraman, and I saw where they used flashbacks, like they recreated scenes in the Netflix animated one as like quick flashbacks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Oh, right on.
The other stuff's kind of weird, though.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of bureaucracy going on at the beginning, and I'm not in the mood for this.
That doesn't last through the whole thing. That's pretty much just that setting up that opening part, because the guy who was the original Ultraman becomes like the security minister or whatever,
okay.
But he's like older.
Yeah.
And he has a son, and his son becomes the new Ultraman.
His son Ultra Boy.
Well, after he grows up. But instead of being like an alien possessing his body or whatever,
right?
Because his dad was Ultraman and he had that power, it
went into like
the blood of Ultraman fused into him as well, even though the entity Ultraman is not there.
Gotcha. Cool.
But they made a suit, like some kind of almost like an Iron Man-esque kind of suit fused with alien technology left over from what happened before. And they kind of like the science patrol is kind of like a secret Japanese Men in Black kind of thing.
Nice.
I hate the fact they're called the Science Patrol. It's so stupid.
But that's great.
I know, but it's what they were called in the original series. Mm-hmm,
that's right.
Like, they're wearing, like, the orange jackets and
yep.
stuff. It's so stupid.
It's great.
Am I detecting some unlicensed science going on around here? I'm the Science Patrol. I'm going to shut this down.
Pretty much. Alien science.
Well, I need to go and watch that.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah. Well, giant things fighting monsters.
Actually, they're not giant.
They're not giant in this.
No.
Really? Well, then
yeah, he's kind of like he's almost like a Kamen Rider Power Ranger type.
Point? Oh, okay. Well, that's all right then.
What's the point?
Well, because he doesn't have the entity to make him a giant.
Mm.
Now, granted, I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know if that comes back later.
It probably does.
Because that's what the show's about.
Yeah. Does he do the weird L-shaped laser?
They actually explain it.
Yeah.
He's fighting in the first episode, when he gets the actual suit from the Science Patrol.
And his dad's like, quick, do that stupid arm gesture.
No, he's,
it'll shoot lasers out of it for some reason.
The one guy is like talking over the radio. He's like, connect the port in your wrist to the port on your left arm.
Oh, that's kind of lame.
He goes, it's like, wait a minute. This is the thing, right? And he's like, yeah, it is. And then he does it.
Oh.
They didn't need to explain it.
Yeah, that seems...
But at least for that suit, whatever, yeah. That's how
okay.
they
do it. Okay.
I don't know, an Ultraman that doesn't get real big is like a Superman that doesn't fly, which is not a good example now that I think about it, because there was a time where he just jumped real good.
Jump good.
Yeah.
Samurai Jack jump good?
A Batman that doesn't scare criminals. I don't know.
Adam West?
That's true.
Well, yeah, Adam West.
Darn it, I can't come up with a good metaphor for this, but...
A Batman who's not a good detective?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, that's Thomas Wayne.
I was going to say, wait, that's Ben Affleck.
Oh.
An Aquaman who doesn't swim. There we go.
There we go. You did it. Good job. It took us a few tries, but you got there.
Like I said, I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know if maybe eventually he does get bigger. I hope so.
For that show's sake, I hope Ultraman get big.
Yeah. He has performance issues.
Yes.
Nutchuck.
Yeah, Nutchuck.
Apache Chief.
He's like an Apache Chief that doesn't get big.
It doesn't grow.
It doesn't Nutchuck.
Does not grow.
I miss Harvey Birdman. Oh, me too.
When is that special supposed to come out?
Oh, I don't know. I
forgot about that.
Harvey Birdman Attorney General.
Yeah.
It'll come out when the Rocco movie comes out.
Right.
And the Zim invaded movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the invaded
yeah movie. Yeah. What is it about animation that's taking so long now? It's like all the good stuff.
Maybe because they want to get it right?
Maybe. Well, a lot of times
they're taking a page out of Doc Hammer's book.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hey, what happened to that Animaniacs reboot we were supposed to get?
Still coming. Still coming at some point.
I mean, Rob Paulsen's still doing his Talking Tunes.
Yeah.
He's still doing Talking Tunes, and he'll still do the 50 States.
No, the Nations of the
Nations
World.
Nations of the World at a drop of a hat.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say.
He will do it unprompted.
Yeah. You have to tell him to not do it.
Yes.
It's like his tick now.
You see him at a con, you have to pay him to not do Nations of the World.
Which is very Warner.
Yeah, that is.
That's exactly in character.
Yeah.
You have to pay the Warners to go away.
Oh, we shouldn't make fun of Rob Paulsen. He seems like a very sweet guy who likes the sound of his own voice quite a bit.
Also, he is a huge chunk of our childhood.
I listened to Talkin' Tunes, his podcast. I had to stop after a couple episodes. Like, he would always bring... I mean, the whole thing was he would bring on other voice actors to talk to him.
And then they read scripts from other unrelated things.
No, the couple episodes that I listened to, he was a very bad interviewer because every time he asked the other person any kind of question, it always looped back to him. It always looped back to some story that he had about doing animation voice over at some point.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was infuriating. Like, I want you to talk to John DiMaggio. Stop telling me
and
stories.
Phil Lamar.
Stop telling me stories about the time you did Pinky that one time. I mean, Pinky's great.
I did watch Pinky in the Brain.
Oh, you
that
did?
That was one of my check it outs.
Okay,
probably.
Yeah, let's roll into it.
I watched a couple episodes of that.
Yeah. Probably prompted by the What a Cartoon anime podcast episode.
Absolutely was.
Yeah.
And it's still pretty good. It's very 90s.
Yeah.
Extremely 90s. Mm-hmm. But I miss that level of cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, there'll never be cartoons like that again because of the amount of money they put into it.
Oh, it's a beautiful show.
Yeah.
And everything... That was an animation studio and a writer's room that was running on all cylinders, like all the way up until the point where it became Pinky, Elmira, and the Brain. We don't talk about that time.
Yeah, it pops up on Verve sometimes. I'm like,
no. The music, though, and in Animaniacs and Freakazoid, everything is scored.
Yeah,
why would Elmira even be there? Elmira was a Tiny Toon.
It's a good question.
There was a guy. There was a guy that worked for Warner Brother Animation, right?
Yeah, there was an executive that just like was always trying to get them to add a third character.
Mm-hmm. And he's always like, we need a girl, Elmira. We have that. She's not doing anything. Because like, didn't he also push for Tiny Toons to put more Elmira?
I don't know. I don't remember if he did or not.
I hated the Elmira episode.
Yeah, nobody likes Elmira. Cree Summer does a great job as Elmira, but Elmira, you can only take in very small doses.
Same with Montana Max. I can only take him in small...
It was Maximilian.
Mm-hmm. Montana Max.
Montana Max.
Was it?
Yep. Because Yosemite Sam, Montana Max.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like Elmer Fudd, Elmira.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
God, it's been so long since I've watched Tiny Toons.
Tiny Toons is so good, though. It's the first place I heard They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that Particle Man?
Yep.
Yeah.
That might be the song this week, guys.
Particle Man?
Go, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
I like how, but it's weird how varied the animation quality is on Tiny Toons. Like, some episodes are animated by very good studios and look very, very good.
And some were farmed out to that one anime studio that didn't care.
Yeah.
I forget what the name of it was, but like... I hear their animation studio name pop up every once in a while, and it's synonymous with, like, it's the same animation studio that did the fifth season of X-Men, the animated series.
Mm.
That really bad one.
Okay.
It's not TMS because they're the good
one. The TMS was the good one. Yeah, yeah.
But that's enough animation.
So that's talk. Another animation. Let's talk about something else.
The main point is Pinky and the Brain still stands up okay.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the when they animated the, what's his name? Maurice LaMarche did the
pee commercial?
Yes, the pee commercial.
It was very good. The Orson Welles outtake pee commercial, which you should look up if you haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty funny.
I might put a little bit of that in here as well. What the heck? Just making more work for myself, but that's all right.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that?
Yeah, but if you could start a half second later.
Don't you think you really want to say July over the snow? Isn't that the fun of it? I think it's so nice that you see a snow-covered field and say every July peas grow there. We're talking about them growing and she's picked them.
Well, we want to be out of that snowy field.
But I was out. We were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas when I said in July.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, always. I'm always past that.
You are?
Yes.
Other than that, I finally got around to Sekiro.
Oh, you did.
Which
okay.
I can't decide if I like it or not.
That seems to be the prevailing opinion from a lot of people online.
There's things about it I like, mm-hmm. but it's also very difficult. And
can you explain it real quick for the people who don't know what that is?
Oh, that's a good idea. Sekiro is a From Software game, the people who made Dark Souls and Bloodborne. It's a samurai action game. Mm-hmm. I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's stealth in there too if you want to do stealth, and you might have to because it makes it a lot easier. but it's incredibly difficult, and
which is
like,
kind of the point. That's From Software's big thing.
Yeah, but this looks better though. Like you're not locked into stupid animations like you were like in Dark
Souls
and stuff.
I don't think it's as hard as Dark Souls mm-hmm. or, but I don't like those games either. I thought, well, maybe this one looks a little different.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll like this one. And I do like it a little bit more, mm-hmm. but still, I'm like, is this worth it? Is the agony of the difficulty worth the feeling you get when you do get further in the game? Because it is a lot of just slamming your head against a wall over and over again, trying to
break through.
Yeah, see, that's why I can watch other people play like Dark Souls or Sekiro or whatever. I can't do it myself. I would get zero enjoyment out of these kind of games.
There's a point where I got up and took the disc out of my PlayStation and began the process of sending it back to Gamefly before I stopped myself. Because then I did play it a couple days later after I cooled down and got past the point,
you know, that I
was stuck at.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get stuck somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I briefly felt like I had become God for beating a single samurai general at the beginning of the game. But like, I'm just so torn between mm-hmm. like, is this, am I actually having fun or am I just torturing myself?
Yeah. See,
I think that's the thing that Dark Souls fans don't admit.
Is this actually fun? Is it actually worth my time? Like, could I be playing another game that doesn't make me feel like garbage before it makes me feel good?
Like, part of me kind of wanted to play it because I like that genre and I like that. Aesthetic.
The aesthetic is very good. That's why I was kind of more interested in it too, because it's cool samurai stuff.
Like mm-hmm. I thought about playing like Neo when it came out,
and he has a grappling hook arm.
Yeah, and that's rad, and
that's
works really well.
Cool. Yeah,
I mean it's not Spider-Man good, but it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's got a prosthetic arm you can shoot shurikens out of.
That's awesome.
And you get more stuff it does later, but I couldn't tell you what that is.
I miss the Tenchu games.
This was started out as one, actually.
Really?
That's what I thought. That's what I heard.
And then they decided to take it in its own direction.
Or a Dark Souls direction.
Yeah.
Hey, what makes this money? Oh, yeah.
I'm stuck at this ogre that sounds like Strong Mad from Homestar Runner.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I'm so mad I missed the Kickstarter on that board game.
Oh, the Trogdor
one?
Oh,
yeah. It's coming pretty soon. Yeah, I got it, too. Yeah.
I missed out on it.
Yeah. I'm surprised. You usually get, like, all the games.
No. I've never Kickstarted a game.
Oh.
I Kickstarted 2 or 3, probably.
I made mistakes Kickstarting things. Oh, did I tell you? I finally got... Okay, so I Kickstarted a thing, like, over 2 years ago, and it was this like Bluetooth adapter. It was supposed to, it's this little dongle that turns wired headphones into wireless headphones, because 2 years ago, wireless headphones were really expensive, and this thing was supposed to be like a cheaper alternative. And they're like, oh, hey, it's almost done. We just need a little bit of money to make the things and send them out. No big deal. Took them 2.5 years to make. And I got it, finally. And it broke within a week.
Oh,
wow.
And they're not issuing refunds.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep. If you ever see a Kickstarter by a company called Poto Labs, don't do it. Because I guess this isn't the first time they've kickstarted a piece of tech that took forever to make and was laughably chintzy when it was finally sent to their backers.
I've had pretty good luck with Kickstarter.
Oh, I've had a troubled relationship with
the most
Kickstarters.
Questionable one I've given to is the System Shock one that briefly died, but it's back going again, and they look like they're going in the right direction this time.
Yeah.
They had serious feature creep where it was like, suddenly, this did really well. Let's put everything in our game. We're going to make it like it's a new game, and then they ran out of cash.
Yeah.
But now they're paring back down to what they originally had planned, which is a remake of System Shock, and it looks much better.
Yeah, I've had mostly good luck. I had this thing, it was called the Jack. It was bad. That was a bad one. There was
Mighty Number Nine.
That was a really bad one. And then the third one was, do you remember that game, Super Mario Crossover? It was a Flash game Exploding Rabbits.
This is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's never going to get fulfilled. He hasn't updated the thing in over 9 months. Apparently, he took all the money from the Kickstarter, which he made quite a bit, because the whole deal was he wanted to basically do a palette swap, change all the graphics and characters.
And level designs.
And level designs to close facsimiles of classic Nintendo characters, so he wouldn't get sued by Nintendo, basically.
Which, I'm surprised they never shut down Super Mario Crossover.
I'm really surprised they never did that either. But got all this money, hired a crew. Bought a house for all of them to live in, so they could just work on the game and live in the house. And then blew through all their money and didn't work on the game. And then everybody left. And he had to take another job, because all of a sudden he had this house and he had no money. And he stopped working on the game.
It's called Rent an Office, you ding dong.
And now it's been a couple years. Oh, I mean, it's probably been like five years. It's been about 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And he updates every once in a while saying, oh, hey, I'm still working on this game, you guys. I swear. And that was 9 months ago. I'm glad I only gave him like $10. But still, that's $10 that I could have used on much less important things.
On a actual product.
Yeah.
Or you could have supported like a starving kid.
Listen, mistakes were made.
The pitfalls of Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Or any crowdfunding source.
Yes.
I hate it when people diss on Kickstarter because they had a bad experience.
But when you have multiple bad experiences, you start to get a little gun shy.
That's true. But you shouldn't write off Kickstarter entirely just because of them.
Also, I do not trust Indiegogo, not even a little bit.
Because they keep the money regardless.
They keep the money regardless, and I almost backed The Order. Do you remember The Order? Josh, you might remember The Order. This was that independent film that Karen Ashley, you know, the second Yellow Ranger, was going to make with all former Power Ranger actors.
Oh,
about
right.
The good guy spy team and the bad guy spy team.
Right.
That were going to fight each other. It was going to be a big kung fu thing with all these middle-aged kung fu people from a children's show from the 90s.
I remember.
That she got a whole bunch of money for, and then realized half the, you know, more than half of them are all SAG actors now, so they have to pay SAG. So SAG came in and took all of the money from the Indiegogo and left them with nothing.
Oh, man.
So they've done I'm glad I didn't back it, but I guess they've done a prequel comic that they've started selling to try to raise more money to make this movie that's never going to happen. Which is a shame, because they got so many people.
But anyway, we can go to break now.
Anyway, let's go ahead and go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news. Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus, 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com. Hey, we're back. That was Particle Man by They Might Be Giants.
Man, I like them.
They've always been one of my favorite bands of all time.
Oh, yeah. Seen them in concert a couple times.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good.
Remember when they did that that Mojo Jojo song for Cartoon Network?
Yes.
Yeah. And tying back into the discussion we had right before with Homestar Runner stuff, they did that music video.
Yeah, experimental film.
Yeah,
and
which
also
is great.
One of the Johns is the real voice of the Poopsmith.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Was it John, was it Flansburgh or was
it? I think it's Linnell, actually.
Linnell, really?
But I
okay.
could be wrong.
Okay. Let's talk about City of Heroes.
You mean Dead MMOs?
Yeah.
Yeah, some weird things afoot in the world of City of Heroes, a canceled MMO from the early 2000s.
About superheroes.
Like, yeah. it was shut down officially in like 2012.
Yeah. Mm,
it's, yeah.
And it came out in 2006.
I'm going to say like five or six. Yeah.
Six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
NCSoft, the company that made this game and many other MMOs they've killed.
Well, Paragon was the studio or the developer who actually made the game.
NCSoft just owns the game. They're the publisher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They closed it down in 2012 and took the game and went home.
Which had a dedicated following.
Extremely dedicated fan base. Yeah. And they've been trying for years to develop a private server or server emulation software so they can play it themselves
mm-hmm.
without NCSoft, which is not entirely legal.
Not exactly legal.
And it had been done before.
Yeah,
there are a handful of MMOs out there that have private servers.
One of the more recent ones is that World of Warcraft vanilla server.
Actually, well, that's been around, but mm-hmm. actually the fact that Blizzard actually has a vanilla version coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because of that market.
It's because of that.
Yes. That the fans showed exists that they're getting the real thing. But people have been trying to do that with City of Heroes for years unsuccessfully. The best they got was like a chat room where you could move around as a hero character you made. But it turns out in secret for at least
6 years.
6 years, people have been running a private server that was exclusive to the cream of the crop of the fan base. built out of code that was given to them by a disgruntled Paragon employee.
That's crazy.
And word got out about it finally. The secret,
thanks to Reddit.
Yeah, thanks to Reddit, the secret was revealed, and the fan base just exploded, rightfully so, because it kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people are really angry because of the fact that people kept the secret from the rest of the fan base.
And from what I hear, they had the character data, too. So you could theoretically go back and play as your character again after all these years.
I don't know. I didn't read about that, but
I think that's what it said, but mm-hmm. It could be not true. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I heard as well.
Yeah. So it's almost like they were holding your character hostage in this secret club that you're not cool enough to be in to play your favorite game.
Yeah. Now, are they opening it up now?
Now they're working on private. They released the code to everybody.
Okay.
But they can't really figure out exactly how to use it. It's not well documented.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been getting around to it, and it's probably only going to get better. So you're going to be able to play it eventually.
Eventually, until NCSoft shuts it down.
Yeah, if they do. I've also heard they've been in talks with NCSoft about
they
it.
Might as well just keep it open. I mean, it's been out of NCSoft's rotation and revenue stream for so long that it's not going to hurt them for this game to have a free server out there.
Yeah, or why don't they just make a user-friendly private server and sell it for whatever?
Yeah.
And then
I'm sure people would buy it for $20 or whatever.
Yeah, then
you
could have your own server of the game you can play with your friends if you want to do that.
Yeah, I would jump on that.
I probably still have my disc somewhere. For City Heroes and City Villains.
See, I never played that. I was a Champions Online boy myself.
Well,
which came out shortly after City of Heroes.
And is still going strong. A lot of strong-ish.
Strong is a strong word.
It's still being developed. It's still being used or made or whatever you want to call it.
New things are coming out for it from time to time. It is, well, technically it's a test bed for Ark's other bigger MMOs.
Neverwinter and
Star Trek Online. So any feature that is made for those two, they'll slap a superhero coat of paint on it and test it in Champions first. there's a lot of broken things, but it's still fun. My level 40 character Battle Chicken is still there.
It's a good time. Both games, not for very long though. I went through a stage. Well, back when MMOs were big and there was a new one every two weeks.
Yep.
I would get them and then play the 30 days free trial they came with and then never play them again because I didn't have my own credit card and my parents sure as heck weren't going to pay $15 a month so I can play whatever dumb MMO is out right now.
Right.
I remember buying game cards for the various MMOs I used to play.
But I did really like City of Heroes. It actually made you feel kind of like a superhero.
What was your main hero's name? Do you remember? Because I remember.
Not for that one, but in other superhero games, I did make Swampy Jones.
Swampy Jones. Swampy Jones was... Wasn't he City of Heroes as well? Or was he DC Online?
He was DC Online.
DC
first.
Online, okay.
And I'm pretty sure I made him in Champions too.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's Swamp Thing... If something was in a blaxploitation movie.
Remember that fake cover I drew years and years ago?
That was awesome.
Swamp Thing in a purple zoot suit with a hat. Yeah.
Oh, man.
The DC Online version of him looked like Black Belt Jones, but...
also Swamp Thing.
But also Swamp Thing, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
The one thing, like, Champions Online's character creator is immense and sometimes a little intimidating. Because there is so much.
Yeah, you can make some really cool things in Champions.
And some really goofy things.
Or you can make Knife Dad from Monster Factory.
Well, a lot of the pieces are locked behind the free-to-play paywall there, too.
There's a few.
Now,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There were ones that used to be available for the free players.
And now it's
locked. That are now locked behind other collections.
Yeah, with City of Heroes, you got everything.
But you also were paying a monthly fee.
That's true.
Well, you weren't getting everything because there were a lot of stuff you had to unlock. Different weapon skins, when they eventually threw that in. Capes weren't available until level...
No capes.
20? And that was kind of a sign of like prestige because you had to do like a special mission to
and
do
that's
it.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
kind of neat. Yeah.
There weren't as many diverse travel powers in City Heroes as there are in Champions Online. Because in City Heroes, you had flight, super speed, super jumping. That was it. Versus Champions, where you have a bunch, and then you could also...
Although, a lot of those are kind of the same.
Yeah, well, but each one that is also kind of the same also has different skins to slap on it, too.
Yeah.
That's the one thing Champions also does that I like, is you can... If you are a paying member of the game, you have all these... Like, even beyond the look of your character, you can customize your powers, where they emanate from, what color they are, you know, all kinds of things. It's ridiculous.
There's a lot of stuff in City of Heroes, there was a lot of low-level crime fighting you could do that wasn't a part of any kind of
You could just kind of run around and do... Yeah.
And I thought that was cool, and it made you feel more like a superhero than just following a quest chain like every MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't give you huge rewards or anything, but it just made the world feel more...
You got a couple influence points. Or, like, you round up a bunch of villains, and you run back to the gathering areas, and then the automated police robots just kill them.
But anyway, this server stuff, this is pretty exciting. This is cool.
The whole saga is just so
crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Like, nothing like this has ever... I've never heard of a story like this before, and I thought it was just worth talking about just because there's no precedent.
Like, 6 years that this thing has been run in secret. It's nuts. Nothing's secret on the internet.
Yeah.
How did this slip through
Especially
the cracks?
Especially from Reddit.
Yeah.
Reddit's like the source of most things on the internet. I don't know. It is kind of nuts. I am curious to see what moves NCSoft does.
Hopefully they'll do the right thing.
Well, I'm kind of wondering maybe if they'll push and maybe think about maybe bringing it back in some form.
Yeah. Mm. Or could we get Tabula Rasa back? That was a neat game.
Tabula Rasa was another one that got like shut down from free, that had a free server, yeah, that NCSoft cracked down on hard. And that's what made the City Hero guys kind of like shut it off, turn it back on, shut it off, turn it back on, because they didn't know what NCSoft was going to do because of that fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
Which it sucks when these games get shut off because there's no way to play them anymore. They're gone forever.
That's kind of, and yeah, from that's a problem.
From a preservation standpoint, that really sucks.
Yeah.
It's like having every copy of a book burnt.
Game preservation lately has become more and more of a thing on my mind. Like, we've all played emulators and stuff here. Let's be honest. I mean, legally, of course.
Yeah, oh, you got to delete them within 24 hours.
Delete them within 24 hours. Yep, that's the way you got to do it, of course. But there are so many games, and it's not just games. It's also like movies and stuff like that, that are just kind of being lost to time because
of various things.
Between format changes
and laws.
And laws.
And licensing rights.
Yeah, and companies deciding, picking and choosing what gets saved and what doesn't. Because, like I said, it's not just games. It's like there's so many movies on VHS that if you don't find the VHS, or if someone isn't like digitally copying it and putting it online just anywhere, so many of these low budget B and C tier movies, and there's some bigger budget movies as well, are just gonna disappear.
Of course, like a lot of games will get preserved, like anything Nintendo's ever done or anything that's like its own franchise and has a little bit of a following will probably get preserved.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff like, I don't know, the Goonies game for NES.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to, it's not likely you'll see that in a re-release package, and not because it's bad. It's a good game.
Yeah, but there's like just a lot of things that have been happening in the last year or so, 2 years. And it's like you said, things disappearing, but also like various laws in various countries and stuff that are affecting games. Like that Transformers Devastation game got completely pulled online.
Oh, was that the Platinum?
Yeah.
Game? Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get that digitally anywhere.
The Deadpool game vanished for a while because mm-hmm. of licensing rights.
Yep. That's the thing that really kind of scares me about digital in general. That's why I still get physical comics, honestly. Because what happens if Comixology ever decides, well, we don't want to carry that particular book that you bought, and your iPad gets wiped by accident or something? You're gone.
You're right.
It's gone.
At the same time, though, it does save space to have that stuff digitally.
Well, that is the trade-off, yes.
Yes. But I also, though, I'm wondering if more and more games are going to go the digital route. I mean, pretty much all PC games are...
Oh, that's where it's heading.
Is yeah. all digital.
Mm-hmm.
There's that digital-only Xbox One coming out.
That's...
The Stadia. The Google Stadia. Where yeah,
you don't own anything.
You don't own anything.
There's no game.
I mean, it's a weird time.
It is. But hey, speaking of game preservation and emulators and stuff, Capcom is getting into the whole classic console realm, kind of in the same vein.
It's more like those one thing, like the Sega Genesis and Atari ones you see at the store, except it's way more expensive.
And ugliest sin.
Oh, it's so terrible looking.
It's a giant Capcom logo with two joysticks coming out of it.
It's humongous, and it's really just, oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, look, it looks kind of like an arcade stick if you poured cotton candy milkshake all over it.
In the shape of the
Capcom logo. Yeah, this thing is weird.
I hate it. I can't help it. It's like aesthetically, it's stupid looking.
Yeah, it has some pretty good games though. It only has 16 games, which is weird for the size of this thing. And it's really unwieldy. It's going to be kind of hard to store because it is a full two-person arcade stick.
Yeah. Which I think the reason why it's so expensive is because it's got some real high quality parts.
Yeah.
Like a real fight stick style.
Oh, they have Sawa fight stick buttons and sticks.
Like that stuff that clicks right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh yeah, it's gonna feel really good when it's out. But we're talking about this. We might as well go through and just kind of list off the games, because some of these are really good. Maybe not the first one that I'm gonna read. 1944, The Loop Master.
Does anybody really like this 1944 and 1945 shmups?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think anybody cares about
that. I don't think so. We have the Alien versus Predator. That's a beat 'em up, right?
Yeah, it's actually a really good beat 'em up.
Mm-hmm. Armored Warriors, which A lot of these are beat-em-ups.
Yeah, I don't remember. I've probably played Armored Warriors and don't remember it.
Yeah.
Which tells you what you need to know about that.
Yep, I don't remember Capcom Sports Club. Captain Commando is fun.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, Captain Commando was at one point, they were really trying to make him the mascot for Capcom because Cap and Captain and Com and Commando. That he had like sidekicks like Baby Commando and Ninja Commando and Mummy Commando. Mummy Commando's name was Mac the Knife.
That's right.
It was great.
It's a weird game. But
it's super
a good
great.
One.
It's super weird, but it's great. Let's see. We also have Cyberbots Full Metal Madness.
I don't know what that is.
Don't know what that is.
Sounds like a great title, though.
Darkstalkers The Night Warriors, which is a great fighting game franchise, but they picked the worst one of the bunch to to put on there.
I do love the Darkstalkers games.
They're great, but the first version of Darkstalkers was incredibly janky and super broken.
Mm-hmm.
But they did use that Morgan sprite for everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, that thing lasted 4 years.
Yeah.
Someone modded that into Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I think. they did a sprite replacement, and they turned the Morrigan 3D sprite into a flat 2D, the old classic sprite. Like, you can pan the camera around, and it's totally flat. It's great. All right, let's blast through these. Eco Fighter.
Don't know what that
don't
is.
Don't know. Final Fight. That's good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Can't go wrong with Final Fight.
Yep. Ghouls and Ghosts. That's going to keep you busy forever.
Yeah, I love those games.
You're going to break your arcade stick with
you're
this
gonna
one.
You're going to snap it in half out of anger. Yeah, that's a bad one. We have Giga Wing. That's another shmup, I think.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I think I've played Giga Wing.
Yeah.
It's not Zero Wing.
It's not. Mega Man, The Power Battle.
It's neat.
Yeah.
It's a neat curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
It's better a thing added to a Mega Man collection for the curiosity of it than it is the actual game you would play. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I would put it right up there with Mega Man, the soccer game.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Mega Man soccer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I want to play that.
Yep. Pro Gear, which could be anything.
I believe that is a racing title.
It sounds like a racing game.
I was going to say either racing or golf.
It is a. I'm 99% sure it's a racing title.
Almost through the Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting, which again
they just released that
great franchise. Picked the worst one of the bunch.
Didn't they just have that on that Street Fighter collection?
It's on the 30th anniversary collection. Yeah, and it's on the 30th anniversary collection. It's on the and a version of that is what we got in the one that they added Violent Ken.
Yeah,
and Evil Ryu. So dumb. But they should have gone with either 2 Turbo or Super Turbo or
Super Turbo.
Super Turbo is pretty great. I guess the only reason why you would go with Hyper Fighting is that's the one that added the Super Meter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Strider, which is a great beat 'em up.
Yeah,
that one's
Strider.
A lot of fun.
Pro Gear is a side-scrolling steampunk shmup by Cave, published by Capcom.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
It is not a driving game.
Not a driving game.
It's a Cave shmup. Which
yeah.
Cave is famous for their shmup games.
Shmups, yeah. And the last one on this list is Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, which is a fun, weird oddity with its Street Fighter characters.
With puzzle.
With like puzzles and
Tetris style Tetris. Puzzle gameplay. It's a great game.
It's pretty fun. But weird lineup, weird choices. Some of them are really good. Some of them are 1944 the Loop Master. Sounds like someone who really loves his Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Hello, I am the Loop Master.
Or.
Another name for Wonder Mama.
Or.
That's the Loop Master. Yeah.
That's a deep pull. Congratulations if you got that
joke.
Not me.
That is a good one.
Sorry, you said like 1944 the Loop Master, and I'm imagining Toucan Sam punching Nazis.
Yeah, there we go. Yes.
Yeah, I am the Loop Master!
I feel like it's just 1945, but you can push a button to do a loop.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, this thing, I mean, it's a shame that this is a audio medium because you really got to take a look at this fight stick thing. It's ugly. Super bad.
Yeah, think of the yellow, blue, and white Capcom logo. Make it wide enough for two people and put arcade sticks
on
it.
And it's $260.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Which is a lot of money.
A lot of money.
I mean, there's a lot of good games in there, and you could probably have some fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
It's not $200 worth of fun.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to have $200 worth of fun.
Definitely not. Hey, we have time for one more news thing. So pick a thing.
There's a lot of Persona 5 news, and we did talk about Joker in Smash earlier.
Sure, why not?
So they're announcing... There's a lot of murmurs that they were going to announce Persona 5 for the Switch, which is what everybody wants.
It's a really good JRPG game. It's a kind of a long-running series, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fifth one.
It's the fifth one, yeah. Well, yeah.
But
I've never played any of them.
It's a real shame. You really should. It's one of my favorite franchises ever of all time.
Very stylish. I like the look of it.
Yes. It's super stylish. It's a fun combination of a traditional JRPG and like a life sim, life management
yeah,
sim.
Yeah, that was kind of the unique thing with it.
Yeah. You go into dungeons at night and fight monsters, but during the day you decide what to do with your school life, and the choices you make there affect things that, like, your stats or your stuff happening in the dungeon.
Friendships with your people around you that give you extra bonuses and stuff, right? Yeah.
It's an excellent...
it's very unique.
Yeah, just design-wise, it's great.
Yeah, but this isn't what we're getting on the Switch.
No, on the Switch... well, they had a countdown page on P5S.jp, which sounds a lot like it would be Persona 5 Switch, but it turns out it was Persona 5 Scramble.
Okay.
Which is a Dynasty Warriors-style beat-em-up, like Hyrule Warriors, but with Persona 5 characters.
So in this game, you're just going to have a bunch of like minions on a map, and you just run around and punch them.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that's how I play Dynasty Warriors-style games.
I don't know why it's Persona 5 Scramble. You'd think they'd cover all their bases and do the whole franchise.
You'd think.
Like Hyrule Warriors does.
Yeah. Plus adding some of their own.
Yeah.
Like Hyrule's Warriors did. Looking at you, Linkle.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. I'd play this, but I'm not excited about it.
I tried the Hyrule Warriors once. I bought it, I played it, and I returned it the same day.
Wow.
Got full refund. Because I did not like it at all.
I remember the original, like, first two Dynasty Warriors games where they were fighting games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I played some of the other ones. Like, I think I played, like, the first, what style of game do they call that now?
Musou.
Musou, yeah. I played the first Dynasty Warriors Musou style game. Didn't play any for a while. Played Samurai Warriors when it came out.
That was a pretty cool game.
And Samurai Warriors 2. They added some mechanics that were a little better. Plus, I liked the Japanese aesthetic versus the Chinese aesthetic. I don't know anything about the Five Kingdoms Chinese history stuff. So it really was nothing for me. And then I played the Gundam ones. Dynasty Warrior Gundam.
Nice.
And Dynasty Warrior Gundam 2.
Nice.
Just because it's Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played Hyrule Warriors.
It's just...
They're all the same.
Yeah, it's a thing they do now. They take a franchise, they slap it into this weird beat-em-up army game, and they call it a day.
I'm surprised they haven't done this with, like, Smash Brothers. Like, Smash Brothers Warriors.
Just smashed a bunch of, like, Koopa Troopas and
stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, a Mario one would be pretty ridiculous.
That would be pretty great, actually.
Thinking about it, yeah, I would play that.
I would... probably try to play it, get mad at it, and return it the same day.
I mean, isn't that kind of what Star Fox is? It's a Mushu in space.
This is kind of what Starlink is.
Yeah, you're right, kind of. Aren't they doing more updates for that?
I mean,
I know they're done making the toys,
yeah,
but they're going to do more
updates. The toys are officially canceled, but there's an update coming out, I think, on the 30th, maybe.
Oh, nice.
That adds Falco and Slippy if you're playing the Switch version.
That's awesome.
Oh, didn't they add, like, some characters like Cuphead for the Switch? We'll talk about that later.
Miss Chalice.
Oh, yeah, they did add Miss Chalice.
They're secret bosses,
yeah.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. I've really been looking at picking up Cuphead.
I have it on my PC, and I really like it.
But
I kind of want to get the Switch version.
I played a couple of levels, and it was infuriating. But I love the animation so much that it kind of makes me want to push through.
Yeah.
And actually,
the art style is so spot on for that, like, that style.
Well, the fact that it's all hand drawn animation.
Exactly. It is literally a piece of art.
It really is. And the music's great too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, video games are art in themselves, but Cuphead is...
Some art is better than other art.
Yes.
Well, no, no. But I'm just saying, like, Cuphead, like, a lot of artistic work went into Cuphead.
Cuphead, it looks like... If you weren't doing the same thing over and over again, if it actually had it some kind of plot or whatever, I mean, it does have a little bit of a plot, but like if it had just a little bit more, it would look like, it would just look like an old cartoon. Like yeah. it's yeah. just that good.
Isn't there like a black and white mode too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have to do some pretty crazy stuff to unlock it.
Yeah.
But
I think they're adding more cutscenes, animated, oh, fully animated cutscenes.
Oh, cool. Nice. Well, I'm probably sold. Yeah. I'll probably pick it up.
I was always disappointed that it didn't have those.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we have reached the end of the show, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Hey, you're on social media? Because we know you are. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now. Go check out our new cosplay gallery.
Yeah.
On our Instagram, yeah.
Yeah.
You can pop us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, with your questions, things you want to hear us talk about, whatever.
We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and just about anywhere else you can find podcasts, you can find this show. I want to say thank you to David Pencil, who did the intro and outro music for our show. You can find more of his work at davidpencil.com.
It's a great song. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have t-shirts, bit.ly/nerdoverloadt.
We have a YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, where you can watch some of the videos we've produced over
and
the years.
And we've been doing some. We've been doing more. Hopefully doing more here in the future.
Go back and watch these two jokers eat a pepper again.
It was very fun. We need to revisit that bit, I think, at some point.
My lower half just disintegrated.
And on that, I think we pretty well hit it.
Free comic day.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. A week from today, we are going to be at MB Subculture for their free comic book day event.
In Bucyrus.
So
let's give them an actual concrete date. It's May 4th.
It's May 4th. Also Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you.
But if you get a chance, if you're in the area, say hi. We're going to be sitting there doing stuff. It's going to be a good time.
I'll have a new build of my game.
You are. That's right. We'll have some other stuff too, probably.
Which I need to work on, actually.
All right. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.